الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته The surah which I have just recited, almost every child knows about it. And quite regularly, sometime in the Vitr or the Maghrib, this surah is recited. And all of us know the meaning of this surah also at the same time. But do we understand the implication of this surah? That's another matter. Our relationship with the Quran is that if you recite it, you will get the sawab. And even if you read it with a translation, which should be done, so that at least we can understand what Quran is demanding from us. Second thing is that the simple verses in which Allah Ta'ala gives the commands to do this or that, or abstain from this or abstain from that, that's a very simple verse. You don't have to ask anybody, shall I tell a lie, shall I commit wrong, shall I do this, shall I do that. You don't have to ask anybody, it is there. It's a very simple verse. Other types of verses are those, of course, which has a legal implication and legal implementation. That you should leave, or we should leave, to those who are expert in the matter. They will deal with the situation. When the Quran says it's very easy for to understand and take the nasiha, it means those verses which are very simple verses, simple commands, and you don't have to worry about it, do that. This surah which I just recited, in the hadith and also in the tafaseer, quite a bit is mentioned. When Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, when they used to meet and when they used to separate with each other, they used to recite this verse regularly so they understand what is being said about. You see, when Allah Ta'ala mentions the Surah Al-Asr, the problem is that the English is a very poor language. It cannot translate exactly what Quranic terminology says. Many terminologies. Naturally, it is difficult to translate from one language to another, this matter, another matter. But I'm talking about the Quran itself. Now here, the Quran has used the word Al-Asr. So the issue is, what is the meaning of asr? If you simple translation, if we give you, Allah Ta'ala taking the qasam of time, zamana. Allah Ta'ala says, certainly, definitely, man is in loss. Generally, except those, the exceptions are made for those who accepted iman, and did the Amal Saleh, good deed. And they encourage each other to do what Allah Ta'ala has commanded. And they remain firm on that path. That's a simple translation. Why Allah Ta'ala used the word Asr? Allah Ta'ala could have used any other terminology, like Zaman or Dahr. Quran uses the word dahr also. Allah Ta'ala is salihin mar dahr lam yakun shay'an maskura. There was a period of time when there was, man was not there, non-existence. So why Allah Ta'ala uses the word asr? Could have used any other terminology. The indication, the implication is that the asr means a time which continues all the way, doesn't stop anywhere, just going. Other type of thing which Allah Ta'ala used the word like dahr or ajal, that's a temporary thing. But well, asr is a continuous process, which continues. Now you all of us know that this world, this dunya has been for a long time. Zamana, the asr is going on all the time. And then Allah said man is in loss, naturally. Because the time, or the permanent, the passage of time has got three implications. One is that is the future. What is going to happen? When is it going to happen? And then second is the present, hal. One is the mustaqbal, the future. Other is the present, hal. What's happening? And it is the past, mazi, guzar gaya, zamana khatam. And Allah Ta'ala is saying, man is essentially in loss. That means the fikr, or the worry, or concern about the future. That is the main thing. Because whatever the future, it will become your hal, your present, and soon that hal will become a mazi, will become a past. So if you have not taken care of the future, then that's coming in the hal, going away, and then in the past is lost, is gone. So zamana, the Allah Ta'ala mentions, is a permanent loss. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, well, asr, Allah could have used any other word. And certainly if you don't worry about it, don't concern ourselves, there's permanent loss. The future. How much we worry about our future? Our everyday life I'm talking about. In your businesses, in your work, in your concern, many other things. How many plans we make? Saman sau baras ka hai kal ki khabar nahi. We make the arrangement for 100 years, not knowing what's going to happen next week. While we know, definitely we know that death is there, it's going to happen, happening every day. Child is dying, stillborn happening, the old people dying, young people dying, it is happening every day. But because it happened to somebody else, and you don't think about ourselves, it can happen to me also at the same time. Where we should put ourselves, whenever such a tragedy happens, you think about it, Allah Ta'ala shukr. But the thing is, I'm sad, that means I've got a little more chance. Now every breath that we are inhaling and exhaling, every minute, a second which is going, we are going nearer to our grave. This is what it means, the loss. And therefore, if it is in loss, if you didn't take care of it, then Allah Ta'ala says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Now it has an implication. Now iman, we all have alhamdulillah iman. We all believe in all the five basic i'taqad, tawheed, qiyamah, nubuwwah, all of these things. But do we have the sensitivity to the implication of this? And this is where the problem comes in. Has the iman taken root firmly in our heart to such an extent that it stops you from committing acts of evil and ask you to do good? Has it happened? Or we make excuses whenever any time comes. The thing is this, as far as iman is concerned, That's a matter of your heart and mind, which is there. Now naturally, the proof of Iman appears in your action, in your deeds. So it's a very simple thing. That is the, if we are thirsty, and you want a glass of water, if you repeat 100 times, I'm thirsty, will it take away your thirst? Unless you take the step forward and put it into action by getting up or asking for a glass of water to drink. So Iman is alright, fine. In the Rasulullah ﷺ time, there used to be Bedouins who used to come. Say, we have accepted Iman. Quran denies that. Prophet said, don't say that. Ulu aslamna. We have submitted ourselves. Either submitted under our force or by show off. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Medina, Munawwara, there is a definite group of the munafiqeen came into being. Hypocrites. The whole surah of munafiqun in the Quran. Now these munafiqeen of those days probably were better than the munafiqeen of today. These hypocrites, whole group of them, they used to come in the Masjid al-Nabi. They used to make namaz behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They used to demonstrate that they are fasting. In other words, they were doing everything which a Muslim was supposed to do, or they were to do everything which Sahaba were doing. And yet the Quran says that they are liars. Qulu aslamna, that means out of fear we have submitted ourselves. And that Iman had not entered you into your heart as yet. So when the Iman enters into your heart, this is where the thing begins, that you started on the right path. And therefore Iman, Allah Ta'ala mentioned about Iman all the time. And whenever Quran is full of the terminology, Iman amal salih, Iman amal salih, Iman amal salih. So the one is the khusran, that is the loss. If you are conscious of the loss, then you will take care of that thing. If you are not worried about the nuqsan, you won't worry about it. And therefore, if that is the case, Allah Ta'ala says, أَمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who got, in other words, if you got the Iman, then Allah Ta'ala expects from you that you will not commit wrong. That's why the poet says, because whenever anything wrong we want to do, or tell a lie, or cheat, or any of such thing which Islam has asked you not to do, or where the personal gain is involved, at that time you struggle within yourself. The argument goes on in your mind, in your heart, within your thing, what you do. And the poet says, very nicely he has put it, Akal se tum mashwara na karna. Akal se tum mashwara na karna. Tarash degi hazar bahane. Do not consult your mind at that time, because it will coin you lots of argument for that. This happens every day. When a robber robs you, when a killer kills you or does anything, he also has got an argument. He does not do without argument. He does not do without thinking what he want to do, what he want to gain. Because the eye is on the gain and the loss. That's what he's talking about. And as a result, he is prepared to do, and knowing the consequences, yet he does, because the argument has given him that legitimacy. This is what we are talking about. So the iman, if we have got the iman, our other term used to say, or let me put it that way. And then he says, amal salihat, and did the good deed. If the Quran is talking about amal salih, there has to be amal ghair salih also. But if the Quran talking about amal salih, then there has to be something which amal ghair salih. There has to be good and bad. If Allah Ta'ala is talking to you to good work, good task, good work, there has to be bad work also. So the thing is this, who decides what is good and bad? If you ask ordinarily, anybody for that matter, or society, or students, anybody ask, who decides about good and bad? They will answer, society, customs, traditions, reasoning. These are the answers they will give you. The chaos that we have, the confusion that we have in the standard of values is because of the system of education that we are getting and the European flood, the value system which is coming from Europe and West. That's what we are, this is where the confusion is. We do not think for a single moment why it is so. You must understand when you talk about the West or Europe, essentially we are talking about Christianity. That's what it is. Now in Christianity there is no law. There is no such thing as Christian law. Yes, there is a Jewish law. Roman Dutch law, other law kind of. There is no Christian law. Their roots are much before the Christianity. So they do not have halal haram. Hazrat Isa al-Islam was a Jewish Peygamber, not a Christian Peygamber. He was a Jewish Peygamber, whom the Jews denied. Says he was an imposter, na'uzubillah. It is afterwards his Hawariyin, his followers, who got Christianity after Isa al-Salam. It has no law. It has no halal haram. But you have got a halal haram. You can do this, you can't do that. That's why if you go to Europe, America, go to anywhere, you can eat anything. They can eat lizard, they can eat cockroaches, they fry on their plants, they eat everything. But you can't eat. So if there is amal salih, there is amal ghair salih. There is one good or bad. So who decides about good and bad? That's the main issue. Is it your reasoning or what? As far as Islam is concerned, the issue is very clear. The criterion of right and wrong is Islam and the Sharia. That's what it is. Now if the criterion, like in the Western society, keeps changing. If you 60, 70 years before, the value system of Europe, or the ladies of the time, the way they used to wear their dresses at that time, 70 years ago. The same as this, like our lady with hijab, who wear that? It's all gone. Because the value system is keep changing. Now the thing is this, what was good at that time is bad tomorrow, today. And what is bad tomorrow will become good tomorrow. That's what is happening. So everything the Europe concocts and we accept it. It uses the weapons against Islam, Islamic value system by creating lots of these things, human rights, this right, that right, all kinds of things. And therefore they would like to do that. Whereas our problem is that we must understand what Sharia is demanding from us, no matter what. Who says what? So if amal salih, maghair salih, the criterion of Islam is static, is firm. It will not change. You may do wrong. Islam will give a verdict that this is wrong. But it will not become good just because you want to do good. That's why the ibadat that we have, namaz, wazah, zakat, all we do. We have taken them normally. We have taken them as objective. Namaz, Roza, Hajj, Zakat, Ibadat are not the objectives. They are means to achieve something else. We have taken this objective. Our Hazrat Wala, Nawar Allah, Marqaz, Hazrat Muhtar Sahib used to say, many of you must have heard it so many times, that it is very easy for us to make 20 rakat of nafal or 50 rakat of nafal. Very easy. If you come 1 hour earlier or something like that, or we make the fast, after that you make the shabbat, you can make the whole life your, you can make fast. But does that ibadat any effect, has any effect on our action? This is where the issue comes in. Because as Allah used to say, the real struggle comes at that time when you are tempted something to do wrong and then you struggle. This is where the struggle is. Namaz, Roza, Hajj, Zakat is 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is. If you make it 100 rakat, you make 100 rakat. But this is not the objective. And the Quran talks about it. If you go in the Quran and read all the ibadat that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, Allah Ta'ala in the Quran also mentioned why I am asking you to do this. In the Salah Tanha al Fasha al Munkar, Allah Ta'ala said the namaz stops you committing acts of evil and indecency. If our namaz does not stop us from committing acts of evil and indecency, this means our namaz is gone. It means it did not achieve the objective. You know, take the formula of chemistry or anything else. The formula mixes something wrong, they're not producing the result. It will produce the result when the chemistries come together. And that's why you think it is of making namaz. But has it produced that result which you should have done? Our roza. See, in Ramzan, for example, we are almost in 24 hours in that state of mind. We make the sehri, and then you start the fasting, then comes the iftar, then you get the taraweeh, then you come back, almost in. But the thing is this, after that, or some people get away with it by making it, I don't know where this issue has come, it's becoming very common in South Africa also, it's a very, you people import from India and Pakistan and then start putting it. The 10 days taraweeh, 3 days of taraweeh, 4 days of taraweeh. What do you understand? The alamun, talamun, nothing happening. What is there? It is a Quran, our Hazrat used to say, and also all the Sufi used to say, or the Sahaba would say, that the action may be small quantity, but it should be continuous, adwam, complete. This is what it is. And therefore, if it does not produce the result, there is something wrong with us. Now, Amal Saleh we talk about. Amal Saleh, that means the good and bad. But then there are two types of Amal. One type of Amal which is very apparent. Everybody sees. Everybody knows about it. You're making Namaz, everybody watching it. You're doing something. Zahiri Amal. Everybody knows about it. The other type of Amal which deals with your heart and mind. This is where issue comes in. Not in the making namaz or doing anything good or giving a talk or whatever it is. Everybody knows about it. The main issue, the main problem is the inner. And the Quran says so. Quran says so. The inner side as well as the upper side. لَا تَقْرِبَ فَوَعَيْشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْ هَمَا بَطَنَ. Do not go even near, Allah Ta'ala says. Do not go even near the acts of indecency which is hidden or apparent. That means the actions or amal are two types, good and bad, zahir or batin. So zahir, everybody worries about it. It is the batin, it is inside, this is where the worry comes in. And this is where we are sleeping. And not just sleeping, sleeping also at the same time, a sound sleep. Now look, for example, we have the zikr. Zikr is not the objective. You can make thousands of zikr. The objective of zikr is that ingrain in the mind the remembrance of Allah to such an extent, any action that you do, you think, you sense of accountability to Allah. This is what it means. And this is what the idea is. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. This action, the good deeds that Allah Ta'ala is talking about, they teach each other, they encourage each other. That is the aqaid, our amal. This is the haq. This is the truth that Allah Ta'ala is talking about. The ibadat must have its results. That's why Iqbal sometimes says, nicely put it, میں جو سر بسجدہ ہوا کبھی تو زمین سے آنے لگی صدا تیرا دل تو ہے سنا ماشنا تجھے کیا ملے گا نماز میں. You have put your head on the ground and that is part of the way put our forehead and cried out. What will you get out of the namaz, of the show of namaz, with so many idols in your heart? Persian poet also say almost the same thing. So the tawasi bil haq, that is, they encourage each other to do good. Because the result with iman, if it's there, and you got the iman stronger, they produce amal salih. Then it is in the sincerity of us is mutually that we encourage each other to do good, not to commit wrong. This is Allah Ta'ala says so. So not to encourage to do wrong, to encourage each other to do good. This is the haq. Tawasaw bis sabr. What is the meaning of sabr? Normally sabr often translated as a helpless. I mean, what can you do? Nothing you can do about it. This is not the meaning of sabr. Quranic terminology. Quranic terminology of sabr means that whatever command Allah Ta'ala has given, whatever action that Allah Ta'ala asked you to do, or thing that abstain from it. And if there are any difficulty in performing that act, you face the difficulty, overcome the difficulty, and continue to do that. This is what you mean in sabr. And that's why Allah Ta'ala tawasaw bis sabr. In other words, don't give up. If you look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you look at this life of Sahaba Karam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they were worried, concerned. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, just imagine. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, asking Hazrat Huzaifa, who had the list of the munafiqeen, crying out, asking Huzaifa, look in the list. Is my name appear there? Does my name appear there? Just imagine Hazrat Umar. Sahabi. What kind of Sahabi? About whom Rasulullah said, Allahu Akbar, Badir Khan Umar. Agar mere baad agar koi nabi hota, agar ho sakta, to Umar hote. And he is asking to find out if my name appears there in the list. So he worries about tomorrow, what's happened in the day of judgment. This is what he worries about. So this surah which is giving you all the thing, give you all the direction how to achieve that. The problem is, we are living in such oblivious forgetfulness, forget about tomorrow, we forget about death. That's why a poet says very nicely, he put it, Mulki Adam, Adam means the akhirat. Mulki Adam ka hai safar. Mulki Adam ka hai safar, aur paas kuch bhi nahi. ملک عدم کا ہے سفر پاس کچھ بھی نہیں حوصلے دیکھئے ان بے سر و سامانوں کے. Look at the audacity of these people, have got no provision, they're going there. If this is difficult for you, then this, the very simple couplet of our Hazrat, which he often recited there, and he very simple, which can Anybody can memorize, can memorize it. جو کرتے ہو تم چھپ کے اہل جہاں سے, جو کرتے ہو تم چھپ کے اہل جہاں سے, کوئی دیکھتا ہے تجھے آسمان سے. That you are doing things with hiding from the people, somebody up there watching you. Now, I often used to recite the verses of my father, also simple verses. حیاتِ دوروزہ کا کیا عیش و غم, 2 days life, what are you worried about in this world? حیاتِ دوروزہ کا کیا عیش و غم, what are you worried about? سفر کا بھی کیا جیسے تیسے رہے, in the travel you don't worry about how you're using a, what kind of comfort you're looking for, just 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, just don't worry about it. ہم ایسے رہے یہاں کے ویسے رہے, we have lived here in this way or that way, what difference will really make? وہاں دیکھنا ہے کہ کیسے رہے. We have lived here, ہم ایسے رہے یا کہ ویسے رہے, وہاں دیکھنا ہے کہ کیسے رہے. تو وہاں, that is what we worry about. This is what Quran is talking about. This is what Surah is talking about. And for that you have to get your stars. You can't treat yourself. It's a very common thing. We get your stars for our everyday thing. Why can't we get a star here also at the same time? And no, Allah wala will come and say, I am Allah wala, come and see me. They are here. You have to look for them. If you are worried about tomorrow. If you are not worried tomorrow, then you don't get a kija sababaya. It doesn't matter what will happen. Wa akhiru da'wana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.